Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Living history and knowing that you're living history creates a real burden of responsibility on the leaders shaping that history, on those seeking to understand it, and on everyday citizens trying to decide what to do next. At the beginning of the week, we told you we'd bring you wisdom from members of our community as events unfolded to help us all make sense of it. So we invited our neighbor from Cambridge, David Gergen, back to the air today in that spirit. David has advised four U.S. presidents, Nixon, Ford, Reagan, and Clinton, and he's the founding director of the Center for Public Leadership at Harvard, where he's a professor. David, thanks for coming back.
Hello, Tiziana. Good to talk to you.
I'm going to start with a really simple question. Are you surprised at how tight this thing came out Tuesday night?
Yes,
and is still
I'm very surprised.
Coming out?
I think, you know, we all went in thinking that Biden had about an 8 or 10-point lead. He led in all the polls steadily months. And then to come out nearly, he's gone through a squeaker. We almost all had heart attacks that first night. Everybody I know in Cambridge went to bed depressed, trying to figure out if they had to move to Canada or something. And things have looked much better ever since.
So we know where you stand after that, too, David. I want to ask you. So one of the stories that I felt like those maps from Tuesday night showed me was how divided we are. We spent the show talking about that yesterday here at Radio Boston, talking about divisions.
We just so much need to understand and figure out how to build bridges with each other and listen respectfully and, you know, treat each other with dignity. I think lost dignity is clearly an issue in working class America. And you know, I do think, on that score, we in Cambridge need to get out of the city and we get out of the bubble more often than we do to understand the rest of America.
You know, I've wondered about that too. We've seen so much demographic data, both in the United States and globally, that people are moving out of rural areas, they're moving into cities, and that as that happens, we're living in two different countries and two different worlds. Have we ever been in that situation before in the country, and what do we do about it?
Oh, I think so. Now, I'm not the historian, but Doris Kearns Goodwin would argue that we're the most divided now since the 1850s. That was actually more divided, and look where it led. So there are obviously dangers to this, dangers to democracy. We're jeopardizing our democracy. I think even though now Biden is emerging as a winner, in many ways this was a disappointing night for Democrats. They thought they would do much better, especially they would take the Senate. But now it's an uphill. They've got a slender chance of taking the Senate seat, but there's a good chance that Mitch McConnell will be there, you know, the graveyard for all the Democrats' ideas. And, you know, there's even talk that Mitch McConnell is going to exercise a veto over Biden's cabinet choices, which would be unheard of. And even the fact we're talking about it is somewhat scary. But we're in strange times.
You know, I saw a tweet earlier today pointing out that if Mitch McConnell does block Biden's cabinet secretaries, Biden, and this is again, if Biden is president, the results have not been called. I want to be really clear because we're a news organization about that. Should Biden become president and that happens, President Trump simply put in temporary appointees, and that was really considered destabilizing. Can you talk a little bit about that as a viable strategy if you can't get your cabinet members appointed?
That occurred to me that one way President Biden, if there is a President Biden, as you so well emphasized, how he would respond. I tell you, once one party starts knocking down the old barriers, the old norms, the other party feels quite entitled to do the same thing. So if McConnell were to do that, were to essentially exercise a veto, I think you'd find future Senate majority leaders in the Democratic side would do the same thing. That's what we saw happen to the filibuster rules. Once the Democrats started fiddling around with them, the Republicans said, "Well, we'll do that too." And now both sides are, you know, and the Republicans got their Supreme Court choices in by doing that. So it's not healthy when you start knocking down the checks and balances. You know, through our entire history, we had a sense of checks and balances. James Madison was wise enough to recognize that, as were other founders. And I think for the most part, it's served us extremely well. But when we start throwing out these old traditions, You have to watch it. You can get yourself into a much, much worse place.
You teach at the Harvard Kennedy School, which used to be
yes.
known as the Kennedy School of Government.
Yes.
We need government to work. The scenarios that you're laying out... scenarios you're laying out don't seem to be played out by people who are committed to the government's got to work. How do we get back to that place?
Well, I think there is a considerable and a very reasonable question that conservatives have raised for a long time, and whether we're asking the government to do too much, and whether we wouldn't be better off to have communities have the government help raise the money, but let the communities decide how to, you know, spend it on what potholes and what they need to do with their schools and that sort of thing. I do think there's some wisdom in that, but the rest of it, I think, is creating a civic culture or recreating a civic culture. In which there are sort of traditions of respect and traditions that you can work across the aisle and not be seen to, betraying your country or betraying your party. And I do think one thing a President Biden, if there is one, would be good at. I think he'd be particularly good at healing. I think he'd be particularly good at reaching across the aisle, working with the other side. We need that. But whether it's going to be acceptable in this environment is really unclear. I think there have been two big questions about this election. Who's going to win, and can the winner govern? We almost know the winner, and I think it's going to look very likely to be Biden. But the question of whether he can govern, I think, is still very, very important, central, and potentially ominous.
You won't remember this, but I remember being at a panel you were on years ago. This was during the George W. Bush administration.
Uh-huh.
And I remember you saying, we were talking about budgets, and you talked about the fact that budgets are moral documents. Ballots are moral documents as well. And I wonder
yes.
if you have a view of the moral story that America is telling right now.
I do, and it's not an uplifting story. We keep on coming up to the edge to do something serious about civil rights, racial inequities, and then we don't really deliver in the way we thought we would. And even now, after all the breakthroughs in the mid-60s on voting and, in restaurants where you could have dinner and that sort of thing, we're slipping backwards on voting rights. I think the way we treat our poor citizens, I think we've gone backwards. The insistence on high standards in education, which I thought was wise, was sort of shot down by a lot of community-based groups on that one. I thought having federal standards actually was the right way to go. But most importantly, we're seeing now as irresponsible citizens on the international stage, starting with climate, but going into so many other areas where we once exercised leadership, and I thought moral leadership. It was not only good for the United States, it was good for the world, that we had foreign aid programs, that we invested in others, that we brought people here, that we had wide open immigration standards to get students here, that we had the Peace Corps and so many other institutions like that we helped to build. And we've walked back from all of that, starting with the Paris Climate Accord. And that, I think, is the story of immorality.
That is David Gergen, who advised four U.S. presidents, Nixon, Ford, Reagan, and Clinton. He's the founding director of the Center for Public Leadership at the Harvard Kennedy School, where he's a professor and a neighbor in Cambridge. David, thank you for coming
to
join us
today.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks.
Take care. Bye.